What was he? It's the little things. As I was saying, Thessalonica is something that could be confusing because you would think that since we have 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, it might be written to the city of Thessalonica, but it's not. It's written to the city of Thessalonica, or some people pronounce it Thessalonica, which is today the modern city of Thessaloniki, or Thessaloniki. And this was a major city back then. It still exists today. It was one of the four capitals of the Roman province of Macedonia. If you've ever heard of Alexander the Great, his father was Philip of Macedonia, Philip II of Macedonia, actually. And it was so important because it was a key city on the vitally important Via Ignatia, which was the equivalent of a super highway of the day that ran all the way from the eastern capital of Byzantium, modern day Istanbul, all the way to a city on the Ionian Sea that lets you just do a hop, skip, and a jump across the sea and go to Italy. So this was like a major super highway that basically lets you go from Rome to Byzantium, from the eastern capital of the empire to the western capital of the empire. It was extremely important. It was kind of like I-95 and I-10 all rolled into one. It was a pivotal city. The next slide is a map, and you can see the different key cities. You can see Philippi, Thessalonica, and Berea are all in Macedonia on the Aegean Sea. What would be Byzantium is a little further up to the top, and the Via Ignatia ran just under the top of the map there. Achaia was the province that was southern Greece, and it included Corinth and Athens. Now, this is going to be important in just a minute. Message for you, sir. On the second missionary journey, after passing through Lystra and Derbe and picking up Timothy, Paul, Silas, and most likely Luke cross over the Aegean Sea. On their way to Europe, they pass quickly through Samothrace and Neapolis before arriving at Philippi. Acts chapter 16 tells us of the details of what happens in the Macedonian call and their ministry in Philippi. Okay, so go back to the previous slide. Okay, so they end up leaving from the area just sort of in between where it says Asia and Ephesus, and they go up, and there's this sort of right in between the words that say Thessalonica and the Aegean Sea. That's Samothrace, and they kind of go about straight up, and they land at Neapolis, and they come to Philippi. Philippi was a huge city, and they spend their time there. And Philippi was great because that's where they met Lydia. They had some good success in Philippi. But after spending some time in Philippi, they ran into some trouble. They got themselves arrested. Okay. Let's see. After the incident with the Philippian jailer, you know, remember Paul and Silas in the jail. Never mind that. It's wrong, Father Scott. They left and head to Thessalonica. They stayed in Thessalonica for three Sabbaths, so at least 3 weeks. And some of the Thessalonians, were persuaded. A great multitude of the devout Greeks and not a few of the leading women joined Paul and Silas. We can see that that's in Acts of the Apostles 17, 2 and 4. Okay, so they stayed there for at least 3 weeks, maybe more. Therefore, we're there for at least three Sabbaths. Okay? You can see that from Philippi, they go to Thessalonica. This is about 150 kilometers. It takes about 2 hours on the Via Ignatia. It's amazing that this 2,000-year-old highway, they still have a highway on the same route. Now, obviously, it's been upgraded a little bit, but it's still there. It's like they The Romans were so efficient that when modern engineers were like, how are we going to upgrade this highway? They just basically repaved it because they chose a really good route to go. If we look at the missionary journey, you can see how they went. They go from Neapolis to Philippi to, you gotta love this one, Amphipolis and Apollonia, and they go to Berea. They ran into some trouble in Berea. They separate. Paul leaves by himself. Actually, Luke probably goes with him. But then they go down to Athens. He stays in Athens only a little while, and he leaves to go to Corinth. Then from Corinth, he leaves. St. Paul leaves, that is. He goes to Ephesus, stays in Ephesus a while. He leaves, he goes back to Caesarea. That's essentially the end of the trip. Okay? All right. Thessalonica is mentioned 6 more times. It's mentioned twice in reference to a guy named Aristarchus. We really don't know a whole lot about him. What we know about him is that he was sent off as a missionary from Thessalonica. Okay? And he's mentioned in Acts of the Apostles 20 and 27. He mentions Aristarchus of the Thessalonians. Okay? Whoever this guy was, he came from Thessalonica. Cool. In Philippians, they talk about how the Thessalonians were so generous. Okay, that's cool. Obviously, 1 and 2 Thessalonians mentions the Thessalonians. This is the epistle to the Thessalonians. Yes, obviously. And then at the very end of St. Paul's life, he says to Timothy, come visit me quickly. Everybody else has abandoned me. And even Demas has left and he's gone to Thessalonica because he loved the world more than he loved the kingdom of God. Not a good indictment of him. All right, so the real question that we have is when did he write this, and from where did he write these two letters, the letters of 1 and 2 Thessalonians? Okay, so we need to look at the epistles, Acts, put these things together, and try and piece together what we have, because what we have here is this really interesting sort of outline that we have in Acts, which we sort of draw a lot of information from, and these different various kind of puzzle pieces. All right, so what do we have? A big key to answering these questions, and found as one of the most overlooked verses in the entire letter, the opening. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the churches of the Thessalonians, and God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the really fascinating thing is that this is the exact same in 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians, verse 1, chapter 1. He begins the epistles the exact same way. Now, how many of you know or knew that Paul listed two other people as the co-authors of 1 and 2 Thessalonians? Paul just didn't say, now he does this in many other epistles. He just says, I, Paul, to you people, here you go. But in 1 and 2 Thessalonians, he says, Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the Thessalonians. He's got two co-authors of this epistle. Okay? Now, the key to understanding when this was written and from where this was written is when were these three guys together? Because if these guys were only together at a certain point in time, then we get to narrow down when this could have been written to a very, you know, unique set of places, right? So when was that? All right, so things that we need to know. First off, Silas and Silvanus are the same person. Yeah, it's kind of like Paul, Saul, Peter, Cephas. There are lots of different occasions where people go by a different name. And it's not necessarily the same kind of thing as Isaac, Jacob. because, or Abraham, Sarah, in those cases, you had someone who had their name changed because God changed their name as a sign of what he was changing their character. With Saul of Tarsus, he sort of moved out of his Israelite sphere of influence into a broader Greco-Roman sphere of influence in Asia Minor and in Europe. And his name, his Hebraic name, Saul, sounded really funny to Greco-Roman ears. It sounded like a word that essentially translated to something like frou-frou. Yeah, it was a word that basically kind of meant, let's say, lighten the loafers. So it wasn't exactly the thing that you wanted to go around and introduce yourself as. You know, it's kind of like walking around going, "Hi, I'm Swishy." I'm sorry, what? No. So there's no real time where, like, God says, "You will no longer call yourself Saul. You will call yourself..." No, it's none of that. He just kind of was like, "You know, maybe I should not go by this name anymore." Well, Silas and Silvanus, it's not like one of them is a Jewish name and one of them is a Greek name. It's probably one of them is a Greek name and one of them is a Latin name. Okay? And one of them just more popular here and one of them is more popular there. He probably went by one in this circle and one in that circle. Okay, but they're essentially, pretty much everybody agrees, Silas and Silvanus are the same person. Okay? Okay. So, if we look at when these guys were together, we can see that they were all together as they started the missionary journey, the second missionary journey, as they moved through Asia Minor, modern-day Turkey. They went into Philippi. They got into Thessalonica. They moved into Berea. As they got into Berea, they got into trouble, and they said, "Paul, you've got to leave quickly." And Paul left Silas and Timothy there. We can see that in Acts 17:14. Paul left Silas and Timothy at Berea. Paul goes on to Athens, and he gives this great speech in Athens. The fact that he gives this great speech that is recorded word for word means Luke probably went with him and just didn't say, "Hey, I was with him at the time." We've got this word for word speech. He was probably there recording it. Okay? So when do these guys join up with him again? Well, they join up with him again in Corinth. Okay? At Corinth, they rejoin him sometime later on. It says in, where is it? 1815. Or I'm sorry, 1805, excuse me. So we go to 1805, and you can see that when Silas and Timothy had come from Macedonia, Paul was compelled by the Spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus is the Christ. So he rejoined, they rejoined him in Corinth. After some time, the circumstances got a little bit calmer in Berea, and they could ultimately join back up with him. Maybe they followed him to Athens, realized he wasn't in Athens, had to check around a little, do some digging, who knows where they went, but ultimately they found him in Corinth. He stays in Corinth for about a year and a half, about 18 months, give or take some time, and when he leaves with Aquila and Priscilla, not with Silas and Timothy. If you go to 18:18, it says, "So Paul still remained a good while. Then he took leave of the brethren and sailed for Syria, and Priscilla and Aquila were with him." Okay? So Timothy and Silas stay in Corinth. Aquila and Priscilla go to Ephesus. That's their next stop on the trip. Okay, so at this point, they're not together anymore. Now, that doesn't mean they're not together anymore, but they're not together at this point in time. But Silas is never mentioned again, although Silvanus is. Silvanus is mentioned once in 2 Corinthians, where it talks about how Silvanus ministered with us when we were with you in Corinth. Okay? And more interestingly enough, at the end of 2 Peter, Peter talks about how I have written you through Silvanus. Like, I have sent you a letter by way of Silvanus. So, what probably happened is Silvanus, remember, Peter had gotten to Corinth because there's this division about, you know, some are of Apollos and some are of Peter and some are of Paul and all this kind of nonsense. Aren't we all of Christ? Well, at some point, Peter kind of got there and he and Silvanus, Silas, remember, Silas was from Jerusalem originally. That's when he and Paul became friends, when Paul was there at the Council of Jerusalem. He and Peter became friends again, and they worked together at some point. They worked together at some point in the collaboration of what becomes 2 Peter. Okay. Point six, this isn't really scriptural, but it's interesting. Tradition says that Silas becomes the first bishop of Corinth. Most likely he stayed in Corinth. Whatever happened ultimately when Paul leaves, he basically says, Silas, stay here. Run the place. You're in charge. And you've got a prophet from Jerusalem who is now placed as the head overseer, the senior elder of the elders in the church in Corinth. Okay? Now, that's not scriptural. That's not necessarily, you can't find that anywhere in Acts or in any of the epistles, but there are traditions and things that come up after the canon of the Bible was closed that say this is what happened. And the seventh point, on the third missionary journey, Paul sends Timothy into Macedonia, but not into Achaia. If we look at Acts 19:22, don't worry, that's not my serving communion hand. Yes, it is. It says, when these things were accomplished, Paul purposed in the Spirit, when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, to go to Jerusalem, saying, da, 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 da. So he sent into Macedonia two of those who ministered with him, Timothy and Erastus, but he himself stayed for a while. And then in 20 verse 4, it says, and Sopater of Berea accompanied him to Asia, and so Aristarchus and Secundus of Thessalonians, Gaius of Derbe, and Timothy and Tychicus and Trophimus of Asia. Okay, so these guys went back with him from Macedonia. So Paul goes into Macedonia and ultimately to Athens and Corinth, but it never says that Timothy goes with him. Now, pop back up this next map here, and we can see the divisions between Macedonia and Achaia. Achaia is the southern part of Greece that includes Athens and Corinth. Macedonia is the northern part of modern-day Greece that includes Philippi, Thessalonica, Berea as well. So when they send from Ephesus into Greece, Timothy goes into Macedonia. Okay? He goes into possibly Philippi, possibly Thessalonica. But he never gets into Achaia. What that means is that he never got into Corinth again. Which means there is only one time that all of these guys were, well, you can see it here. If you look at the third missionary journey, Paul goes back in, and he goes from Berea back down into Athens, back up into Berea, Thessalonica. At some point between Berea, Thessalonica, and Philippi, Timothy hooked back up with him, and they went back down. They never go back to Ephesus again, because remember, Paul knew that he had to go back to Jerusalem and stand trial. and he didn't want to be delayed, so he avoided going to Ephesus because he knew that the elders of Ephesus would never let him go, so he avoided that time. But Timothy never got into Achaia. He stayed up in Macedonia. So what this tells us is that the most likely time that Paul could have written this epistle was in the visit to Corinth during the 18 months he was there on the second missionary journey. Okay, it's really the only time that Silas, Timothy, and Paul were all there, because there was really no other time that these guys were all there at the same time. Timothy never got back there after that. For Paul, Timothy, and Silas to all be there at the same time, you're looking at basically this one 18 to maybe 20, 24 month period of time, about 50 to 51 AD. That means that 1st and 2nd Thessalonians may very well be the oldest part of the Pauline writings. That may be conceivably the oldest part of the New Testament. There are people who believe that Paul's writings predate the final forms of the Gospels. That not that, you know, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, John didn't start writing with their works, but they weren't completed in their finalized forms until after Paul had written his letters, until after he was martyred. And so it may very well be that 1st and 2nd Thessalonians were the very first letters, the very first part of the New Testament that were ever actually written down. Because after passing through here, he gets to Corinth. It's close enough that whatever was going on, they could have sent messengers back and forth. 18 months, it's not a long time, but it's quick enough that somebody from Thessalonica can come to Corinth, go back and forth. It's not beyond the realm of doubt that he could have sent these two letters. Most likely that he did from Corinth at this time. So, anybody have any questions? All right.